was horrible weather, though. It rained the entire time. Like, freak weather, too. Like, wait, like raining 14 days in a row. This weather lately is getting freaky, freaky weather. Like, the lady at my drugstore thinks it's a sign of the end of the world. I was up there, like, 3 weeks ago buying a paper, and there's this big flood wherever. It was on the front page, and I go, oh, that flood's horrible, isn't it? She goes, no, baby, it's just another sign of the end of the world. I go, do you really think the world's ending? She goes, mm-hmm. I go, well, then can I just have this stuff? Going out of world sale, come on. Then I got home the same day, honest to God, and there's this video in my mail from some Christian group, and it said, do you know Jesus, the end is near? And I'm like, what is this? So I throw it out. Then I'm laying in bed at night thinking, you know, the world probably is going to end. I'm going to get to heaven, look all surprised. God's going to be standing there going, look, I sent you a video. I had the lady at the drugstore tell you. And your Rams won the Super Bowl. What else?
All right. Ezekiel. Just a little bit about Ezekiel. He's crazy. Okay. He's undignified. And we're going to talk about that. I'm actually going to be talking for 3 weeks. Please come anyway. And let me ask you a question. How many of you read the whole book of Ezekiel since last Sunday? No, just kidding. I did. Here's the thing. It's understandable that you didn't read Ezekiel in 1 week or maybe even at all, because we tend to spend our devotional time and our Bible reading time on things that are inspirational, that we understand, okay? And so what I'm going to do this week, and I hope I finish, if I don't, I'll finish next week, is I'm going to take you through the entire book of Ezekiel, all 48 chapters. All right? Are you ready? All right, then. I got one person who's ready. So there's a lot of interest in the end of the world. People visit fortune tellers, you know? They go, tell me what's going to happen. Should I marry so-and-so? Or they listen to self-proclaimed prophets, you know, especially like on TV. You've got some people on TV who say, the end of the world is coming and this is what we need to do to get ready. And then there's this the guy on the street. You know what I'm talking about? That hold the signs? The end is near. That's Ezekiel, okay? He's the guy on the street. He's the one that's warning Israel that the end is nigh, is really kind of the word. It doesn't mean exactly near. It means it's upon us, okay? It's nearer than near, but not quite there. Does that make sense? Okay? And so what we have is, where is it? The end is near. And the title of my sermon is Ezekiel. Who the? What the? Huh? Because that's about the way I felt the first time I read it several years ago. I wanted to preach it for two reasons. One, most people haven't ever heard of it, and if I mess up, then you won't know it. And the other is, for some strange reason I haven't figured out, I identify with this guy. So maybe y'all can figure that out for me one of these days. Okay, the first thing it talks about is like the craziest thing of all. It's this thing comes flying in. Okay, so imagine this big old whatever with, I can't even describe it. I tried to find a picture, and I looked at lots and lots and lots of pictures, and none of them were what I see described in the Bible. But basically, it's this thing. It comes in. It's got wheels on each corner. It's got people sitting on each corner. It's got the glory of the Lord in the middle, although they don't tell you that till later. And it just kind of hovers around. And if it wants to turn, instead of turning, it just kind of moves in that direction. And then it moves in this direction. You know what they're describing, don't you? A UFO. Or a drone. We gave Joey, our son-in-law, a drone. And it's got a wheel on each corner. And it moves that way. Doesn't have the people. And so I can understand why people looking back on that story are saying it was the first appearance of UFOs. Or maybe the thousandth, depending on who you talk to. So there's a lot of craziness about Ezekiel out there, okay? That was chapter 1. Here we go. We got 47 to go. In chapter 2 and 3, it's talking about the fact that Ezekiel must be the Lord's messenger. That's what a prophet is. God tells him something to say, he says it. Sometimes it's telling the future. Sometimes it's talking about the past. Sometimes it's a warning. Sometimes it's just some facts people might not know. So this big old arm appears and comes down from somewhere. Think about that. Not attached. Just an arm. Comes down from somewhere and it gives Ezekiel a scroll. And this scroll has stories and information and all kinds of stuff. And God says, eat the thing. And so Ezekiel eats it. And God says, now you're going to tell it all. And so Ezekiel's ready to tell it all. The problem is, he was in shock. God carried him away. He had just seen a UFO, or let's call it an IFO. Y'all know what that is? Identified flying object, because we know it's the glory of the Lord, right? And so he'd just seen that. He'd just eaten a scroll. And now he's been spirited or carried away. Mysteriously. So he's in shock and he can't talk for 7 days. Oh my gosh, I know some people I would like to see that happen to. Okay. And then God talks to him kind of mean. He says, I have all this stuff I want you to say. And you know what? If you tell it to the people and they change and become good people, then you're good. If you tell it to the people and they don't change, then that's okay. It's not your responsibility. You did what you were supposed to. But Ezekiel, if you don't tell what I tell you to, and then these people die because of it, then you're going to die with them. So that's a pretty hefty charge. And that's one reason why nobody wants to be a prophet, right? Because if you don't say what you're supposed to, then there are problems, okay? I got three gadgets going here, so y'all just bear with me here. Now, the next thing in chapter 4, man, I was going to bring some visuals for this, but I decided I didn't want to carry dirt around. But in chapter 4, it talks about a brick. And what he does is God tells him to do this stuff. Now, here's the cool thing about Ezekiel. He gets told to do some weird things. And he does it. That's the cool thing. He listened, he heard, and he acted upon what he heard. And so God said, draw a picture of a city on a brick. Now, bricks were kind of bigger back then. But draw a picture of a city, and it's going to represent Jerusalem, okay? And then you are going to put a dirt road around it. So he sprinkled dirt around it. You're going to put a dirt road right up to it. And so he sprinkled dirt right up to it. So here is this picture going on, okay? And he said, and then you're going to take an iron skillet, you're going to put it right there to show that it's under God's protection. Oh, I just went blank. So let's move past it since I went blank. Okay, under God's protection. And then he said, I want you to lie on your left side. There we go. For 390 days. And then I want you to turn over and lie on your right side for 40 days. Now, do you think that he actually laid there 24/7 for all that time? That's what I always wondered. Did he? Well, what does it suggest? What does the evidence suggest? By the way, 3 years ago, I couldn't have done that. Yay! Okay. So, and I'm going to get back to that in just a minute, okay? And he said, roll up your sleeve and attack the cities, speaking for God. Okay, you're going to be speaking for God, and so you're going to attack the city. And so remember, this is a brick city. And so he's going to sit there and attack this city, and he's going to mess it all up and everything. And then God says, I'm going to tie you up until you're finished so you can't turn over. So he's on the ground. He's all tied up except for his hands, and he's attacking the city. Are you with me so far? Yeah. This is just chapter 4. We got to move. Okay. And then he told him, during that time, you can only drink water and you can only eat bread. And the bread has to be made from water, wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, which is grass seeds, and spelt, which is an ancient wheat. Okay. You can make this bread every day. Okay, now wait. Now we're getting back to something I asked a minute ago, right? Did he stay on the ground 24/7? No, because God said to make his bread every day. Does that make sense? So what the picture is that the prophets would gather somewhere during the day and talk, speak out God's word. And then in the evening, they'd go home and be regular people, okay? So he could only have 3 cups of water and 1 serving of the bread during that entire time. And so the bread had to be cooked over human dung. And then Ezekiel said, wait a minute. I don't eat unclean things. I never have. Please, Lord, don't make me do that because then I'll be unclean. And God said, okay, fine. You can cook it over cow dung. I'm thinking, is that really cleaner? I don't know. I think I advanced an extra slide. Just pretend you haven't seen that yet, and now it appears. Okay? So the Lord is telling him to tell the Israelites the end is near. Okay, it's coming. It's coming. Or it's kind of already there. Okay? Now, be sure I do the right thing. I did it. Okay. So chapter 5, basically he says God's going to destroy Jerusalem. The message almost all the time, you could almost say Ezekiel in one sentence, I'm going to destroy Jerusalem. That's basically kind of what it is. But he told Ezekiel to do something. Jeremy brought his visual aids, his son. I brought some visual aids too. So he told Ezekiel to get a sword and shave with it. It's a good thing it's not sharp. I'd be dead. Shave with it and cut all his hair off with it. But I'm not going to do that because I have little enough hair as it is already. So shave. And then he's supposed to take the hair. I'm going to do more with it later. Take that hair, divide it into thirds. He says, burn a third in the tiny city, so the little brick city. Put a third of the hair in there and burn it. Then scatter the third around the city, a third of it, okay? And then let a third of it blow in the air. So a third and a third and a third, that's all of it, right? And then he says, but put some of it in your pocket. So apparently there's some left over after he gets rid of a third and a third and a third. I don't know. So what it does is it shows that Jerusalem is going to be destroyed in the city by fire, scattered around, scattered to the wind. And then we'll talk about what the hair in the pocket is later. All right. We are up to chapter 6. Are you excited? Next, he talks out against idols. Seriously. Put that away. I'm a school teacher. I don't allow that stuff. Okay. Speaking out against idols. He says, speak to the mountains. He had to talk to the mountains. You know why? Jews wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. So the Lord said, tell them to stop all this idol worship. They got to stop this stuff. Clap your hands and stamp your feet. So can you imagine Ezekiel's out there going, God's going to destroy you, Jerusalem. Pay attention to me. So he's acting like a crazy man. So then chapter 7, if you really want to know what's going to happen to Jerusalem, go read it. I'm not going to talk about it. Chapter 8, there was a man. Okay, more visual. More visuals. He saw in a vision a man. And from his waist down, he was burning up with fire. And from the waist up in this grate, he was like hot metal, okay? Glowing hot metal. Are you with me? Okay, there's probably more fire than that, don't you think? So he saw another vision. Ezekiel kept seeing visions because he was a prophet, and that's what God did, okay? So by this time, people thought Ezekiel was definitely crazy, and so they kind of started not listening to him and maybe misinterpreting, kind of like this, the end is near-ish, instead of understanding the immediacy of the problem. They're thinking, oh yeah, the end will come, but not anytime soon. All right, then God picked him up, spirited him away again, and took him on a tour. And in the tour, he went to the wall of Jerusalem, and he dug a hole in the wall. And this thing, they dig holes a lot. And it's like, well, if it's so weak that you can just dig a hole in it, then what good is it, you know? And he looked through the hole, and he saw that the 70 elders had each built their own room for their own false idol. We're talking about the 70 elders of Israel. These are like the religious dudes, you know? And they each had their own room for false idols. And then the Lord took him to the inner courtyard of the temple, and there were 25 men who were bowing. Instead of bowing towards the temple like they should have been, they were bowing away from the temple towards the sun, worshiping the sun. So there again, they're not worshiping God. Okay? And there were some with rings in their noses to honor the moon god. I thought, well, that's interesting. I wonder if that's what's going on today. I don't know. All right, and now a quick demonstration. Come, helpers. All right, so the next thing that happened is Ezekiel saw a vision, and there was a guy and six other guys, and the one guy went through all of Israel and marked all the people who were good and who were following God's law. Okay? And so if you were marked, that means you're a good guy. But the ones who weren't marked, the other six guys came behind and killed them. All right? So this is a warning to Jerusalem. So if we beat you up, then you're one of the bad guys and you just got killed. All right. Now, I'm going to insert something real quick here. Why am I doing silly things? It's partly because it's fun. What else? Why would I be doing silly things? So you'll remember. That's right. So you'll remember. Hopefully you'll have a little bit of fun, because I know that telling Ezekiel's not the most important thing or the most fun thing in the world. But in order to understand next week and the week after, you got to have some foundation. Okay? So we're going to keep this going. I'm going to try and finish. What time is it? Oh, I'm doing great. Okay. Now, here's something really important in chapter 10. Super, super important. That wheel appears again. That weird drone IFO thing appears again. And the glory of the Lord rises up. And he's been in the temple all this time. That's why they couldn't go into that inner sanctum, because the glory of the Lord was there. And only one priest could see him, and only once a year. Well, now the glory of the Lord rises up, and Ezekiel gets to see it, and it leaves the temple and leaves Israel by the east gate. So think about that. Here's the Israelites, and they have just been abandoned by their God. That's pretty heavy. Okay? I keep forgetting to turn the slide off. All right, so then in chapter 11, a cool thing is that here is the first promise that the Lord is going to do something good. In verse 17, but you must tell those people that the Lord God will bring them back. There's hope. I have scattered you among many nations, but I will gather you together and bring you back from those nations. I will give the land of Israel back to you. And remember, he was on a tour. Well, the tour is over, okay? All right, so let's go on. The tour is over, but the message is still pretty much the same. The end is near. I don't know, he may be famous, I wouldn't know, so. All right, here we go. The next thing, he was told to pretend to go on a trip. He had to come down, pack his bags in front of everybody, pack a trunk, and he had to cover his face, and then he had to take his trunk, and he had to actually go out of the city and make it look like he was leaving the city and not coming back. And that represented the fact that when things get bad, their leader is going to cover his face, and he's going to escape the city and leave all the people there to die. Okay? So, but the people are still doubting, and they think, well, if it does happen, it's not going to happen for a long time. We don't need to worry about that. But God says something in response to that. He says, that's because I am the Lord, and if I say something will happen, it will happen. Okay? And I think we need to know that now. If God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. Chapter 13, all about false prophets, doom and gloom, you're going to die, that kind of stuff. Chapter 14, the idol worshipers, doom and gloom, they're going to die. But there's something added here. He talks about disease, and he talks about famine, and he talks about armies killing people. But for chapter 14, the idol worshipers, they also get wild animals to tear them apart, okay? Isn't that exciting? Okay, and then he talks about a grapevine, how all the people of Jerusalem are like the wood of a grapevine. I don't know if you've seen the wood of a grapevine, but it's all twisted. You can't use it to build with. All it's really good for is to burn. And so the people of Jerusalem are going to burn. Chapter 16 is a really long chapter, and it's awesome. An awesome chapter. I'm going to teach it to you next week when we get into things a little more relevantly, okay? Because that's what's going to happen next, is some relevance. But one of the messages in chapter 16 is, yes, the end is near, but repent. Repent, for the end is near. In other words, God is still saying, it's not too late. There's still a chance, okay? And then chapter 17, there's a tale of two kings. A giant eagle plants a grapevine. The grapevine says, the giant eagle takes care of the grapevine and gives it water and treats it so nice. And then the grapevine looks up at the eagle and says, but I'd rather have that other eagle take care of me. I want the other one. And so the other eagle comes in. The giant eagle backs away. The other eagle comes in. And the other eagle, instead of taking care of the grapevine, it rips it up and tears up its roots. Okay, this is also Jerusalem. They had God. They chose idols instead. Chapter 18, good and bad people, good and bad sons, fair and not fair. The Lord is fair. It's an important message. The Lord is fair. Good people are rewarded with good things. Bad people are rewarded with bad things. And bad people who turn good are rewarded with good things. And that's kind of cool, isn't it? All right, chapter 19, lions and grapevines. Oh my gosh. Okay, chapter 20, there's a history lesson. If you want to hear, if you want to read about Israel's history and you don't want to read the whole Bible, look at chapter 20, okay? I'm looking to see. Oh, there's a verse that says, the people of Israel said bad things about me, this is the Lord talking, and made evil plans against me, but I still brought them to the land I promised to give them. This is going back to, if you turn good, I mean, if you're bad and you turn good, then I'll still give you good things. He's saying, I did that before already. How many chances does God have to give Israel before they'll wake up and listen? Okay? He keeps telling Ezekiel to warn idol worshipers and sinners. And, of course, Ezekiel is concerned that people are just going to think he's telling stories and that he's crazy. So there's good old Ezekiel. The end is near. He looks kind of puzzled. I don't blame him. All right, next, Ezekiel's told to make sad sounds. Oh my gosh, Israel's going to die. And just think about this. These are things he's doing in public in front of everybody, and everybody's watching him, and he keeps having to do all these weird things. And God said Babylon is a sword, and he tells Ezekiel to tell them that Babylon is going to be destroyed. And first on the right, and then on the left, and then the head's going to be cut off. And then, of course, pose and wait for applause. More. Okay, good. Thank you. All right. So, and then he also says, clap your hands, slap your knees. You know what else he tells them? He says, go out and put up a sign that says, for the enemies to read, that says, Jerusalem's this way. Oh my gosh. Ezekiel had to go out and make a sign for the enemies of Jerusalem that said, go that way. I mean, that's asking a lot. You know what? the Lord is going to use Babylon to destroy Israel, then you know what he's going to do? He's going to kill Babylon for destroying Israel. That just kind of blows my mind. Okay? Think about that. Jerusalem, in chapter 22, Jerusalem is warned again and again and again. This time he talks about sexual sins, murder, rape, idolatry, being disrespectful to your parents, all kinds of stuff. But in verse 30, God says, I ask the people to change their lives and protect their country. I asked people to fix the walls. I wanted them to stand by those holes in the wall and fight to protect their city, but no one came to help. So I will show them my anger. I will completely destroy them. I will punish them for the evil things they have done. It's all their fault. That's what the Lord God said. Ooh, oh my gosh. What do you think about that? It's kind of harsh, isn't it? Chapter 23, a tale of two sisters, Samaria and Jerusalem. Samaria was bad. Jerusalem was the favored sister, but she was worse than Samaria. And that's what happened with the Israelites. Not only did they become bad, they became worse than the countries around them. Then he takes all the really good meat. He's told to do this, take all the really good meat, put it in a pot, boil it in water, get ready to eat it. And then when you look inside, you see that the pot is rusted and you have to throw out all the good meat. Same thing. Israel had become bad. And then God told Ezekiel one day, your wife is going to die suddenly. And I want you to tell everybody that she's going to die. And so he had to go and he had to tell everybody, my wife is going to die. She died that night. And then when he went out the next day, God said to him, you're not going to go out in mourning clothes. You're going to go out there. You're going to be normal. You're not going to cry. None of that stuff. And Ezekiel had to do that, even though I know he was probably dying inside. And that was to demonstrate that God is going to destroy this bride of his, Israel, but that people aren't going to care. Nobody's going to care that Israel is gone. And so we are getting close to the finish line, okay? They were getting close to the finish line. And to me, the finish line, the reason I put that there instead of the end is near, the reason I put finish line is because it is happening now. At this point in Ezekiel, it's all actually starting to happen, okay? There's wars going on and all that kind of stuff. By the way, I'm not a Bible scholar, so if I make mistakes, forgive me, okay? I saw Danny look like that, and I'm thinking, oh, did I mess up? Only because I respect him so much. I know. I know, and that he couldn't mourn her either. Yeah, that would be like considered disrespectful. We're going to do a bunch of chapters really fast. Chapter 25 through 32. Everybody's going to die. Ammon's going to die. Moab's going to die. Seir's going to die. Edom's going to die. In case you don't know it, these are all countries. The Philistines are going to die. Tyre is going to die. As a matter of fact, they're going to die so bad that they took three chapters to talk about it. Egypt's going to die. That one took three chapters too with all the wonderful gory details, okay? But you know what God says? After all that happens, nations are going to stop laughing at Israel. They were laughing at Israel because Israel was just as bad as them. And yet they kept saying, I'm the chosen person. We are the chosen race. And so everybody would laugh at them. You're just as bad as we are, even worse. But all these people are going to die. And then God says, nations will stop laughing at Israel. Okay? And then the Lord says to Ezekiel, you're going to be my watchman. Okay, are you still with me? I'm trying not to be too boring. I'm trying. Okay, so you're going to be my watchman. A watchman is the person who stands on the wall or outside the city and watches for the enemy to come. And when they come, he yells or he runs and he says, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming. And the Lord says, you're my watchman. The enemy is coming. Tell everybody the enemy is coming. But in chapter 11, verse 11 of chapter 33, the coolest thing, God says, you must say to them, the Lord God says, by my life, I swear that I don't enjoy seeing people die, not even evil people. I don't want them to die. I want them to come back to me. I want them to change their lives so that they can really live. So come back to me. Stop doing bad things. Why must you die, family of Israel? That's the heart of God. Oh my gosh. And that's his heart for us today too. All right, so 12 years into the exile, 12 years after Ezekiel started warning everybody, you know what happened? Israel was taken. Okay, so not only he said it, and he said it, and he said it, nobody believed him, now all of a sudden, it happens. And so now guess what? People start flocking to Ezekiel to find out what he has to say. They don't necessarily believe him, but they're starting to think, maybe there's something to all this. And so their attitude at this point is, the future is uncertain, but the end is always near. I don't know when it's coming, but apparently Ezekiel thinks the end is near. And they're still thinking in the distance. I don't understand why. They just found out that Jerusalem was taken, that it was burned, and that the people in the little areas outside of it were all killed. And yet still, they think the future is uncertain. Does that make sense to y'all? Not to me either. Wait a minute. Okay, I just didn't switch it online. Good. All right. Now, next week or the week after, I'm going to talk about chapter 34. It's a really great chapter. It talks about the shepherd and the sheep. Have you heard that anywhere before? Have you? Somewhere in like the New Testament, right? Okay. All right. I see my time is getting short, so I'm going to talk really, really fast, okay? Are you ready for this? All right. So then, in chapter 36, they start talking about things getting better. The surviving Israelites will come back to Jerusalem. And the Lord God says, this is verse 32, I want you to remember this. I am not doing these things for your good. He says, I'm not bringing you back for your good. He says, I am doing them for my good name. Because they have ruined his name. Family of Israel, you should be ashamed and embarrassed about the way you lived. But I'm going to bring you back anyway in order to protect my good name. And one of the biggest messages is the end is near. Turn yourself around now before it be too late. Okay? So now God keeps continually saying, you can change, 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 because I love you and I want to save you. All right, then Ezekiel is spirited away, and everybody's favorite thing is the dry bones. He went to this valley of dry bones. It was an army who had died, and there's all these bones there. And then God says to him to put them back together and speak to them, and all these bones pull together, and then the muscles come on them, and then the skin, and there are these dead bodies, zombies, sorry, just standing there. And you know what? Then God says, speak to the wind, and the wind comes in and gives the breath of God into the people, into the bodies, and they come alive. And everybody thinks for some reason, because I've heard this all my life, that it was to raise up an army for Israel. But you know what Ezekiel says? It's to show that Jerusalem is going to be brought back together and made to live again. So it's a promise. This is something good that's going to happen. All right, and then we're going to attack. Gog is going to attack. Gog is a king. Magog is his country. God tells Gog to attack. They attack. They kill a bunch of Israelites. And guess what happens to Magog? God kills them. Again, he tells them to attack, and then he kills them because they attacked. This part is just beyond me. And then Ezekiel gets to see the new temple being built, and there's a big old description of it. If you want to read it, it's chapter 40 through 42, okay? And then we are to this part. The end is near, optimist. Okay? So there is some optimism here. But in this case, they're saying the end being near would be a good thing. Well, the end is almost near for them because they're going to be brought back eventually after a lot of years, okay? And I'm almost done, y'all. The glory of the Lord. This is cool. Chapter 43. You remember the glory of the Lord? What did it look like? Like a hovercraft, an IFO. And it left. It went out the east door of the temple and left out the east gate of the city. Guess what? It comes back. And that is a reason to celebrate because the glory of the Lord comes back. I think Ezekiel should end there because that is good. But no, then they got to do rules about offerings and all kinds of stuff going on. Here's one I just put in here because it says the end is near and it was kind of fun. And then they divide the land and then there's more about the temples and then Chapter 47 is cool because there's a river that flows under, and when it comes out from under the temple, everything grows in its path. And that's really kind of cool. And then chapter 48, more about the temple. And here we go. One more cartoon. The end is near. Are you sure we want to delete all the cookies? And they're trying to get the yes to go away. Okay. So here we go. It's not just doom and gloom. Ezekiel's not just doom and gloom. It is so much more than that. It is an enigmatic picture of the glory of the Lord. Enigmatic means kind of confusing, hard to understand. There are beautiful declarations of God's love for his people and his desire for them to live and not die. There are pictures of God's relationship with his children, his relationship with his bride. There's a picture of the relationship of God between God and people in the shepherd and the sheep. And there is a foreshadowing of Christ in several places. So, lastly, I want you to know that the end is near because it's the end. Thank you.